Hi, I'm Brooke Taylor, one of the leaders of Missio Church. We exist to give every man, woman, and child repeated opportunities to see, hear, and respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ without having to come or go anywhere. Thank you so much for listening to our sermon series on the Gospel of John entitled Come and See. We are so excited about what God is teaching us about Himself and about us through His Word and about the transformation that He is doing in us, making us more into the image of Jesus Christ. It is the prayer of Missio Church that this sermon might encourage you and strengthen you in your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. It is the desire of the elders of Missio Church that this sermon would not be used as a replacement or a substitute for you gathering with a local church and submitting to the leaders that God has put over your life. If we can help you in any way, please reach out to us at www.missiochurch.faith or by calling us 631-924-4943 anytime. You can also visit us on any Sunday at 10 a.m. at 70 Smith Road in Ridge, New York. We hope you enjoy today's message. Out December, the sounds of the season. And we've been recognizing how we were created to sing. And when we sing, we are fulfilling one of our created purposes and designs. When we sing, we are being obedient to God's word, and we're imitating His example to us. We're using our emotions and our creativity, our memories, our minds, and we're meditating and thinking upon who God is and what He has done and what He will do and what His word says to us. We've been reminded that we're to sing with enthusiasm, with others, to teach ourselves. We're to sing as an example for others, both to young and to old. And we're not to sing merely for our own entertainment or fame, but for and in the presence of our enemies, for and with the angelic hosts, and for the glory of God. And if we have been redeemed by God's grace, then we sing. And as I was standing in the back this evening, not that you needed my motivation throughout December, but it was a joyful experience to listen to your singing tonight. So we just want to end our series and to end our Advent season and to end Christmas Eve by looking very briefly at three songs in the New Testament, the sounds of the season. And the first one is found in Luke chapter 1, and you probably would know this. This is the Song of Mary. And I want to read it for you. It says, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for He has looked on the humble estate of His servant. And for behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed, for He who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is His name. And His mercy is for those who fear Him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with His arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich He has sent away empty. He has shepherded His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy, as He spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to His offspring forever. I want to encourage you this Christmas season and throughout the year to come to learn to sing the song of Mary. Because Mary praises God for His mercy to her as a sinner. She rejoices in her Savior. She praises God for He has done mighty things for her and has acted on her behalf in strength, reversing her future. Mary sings the blessings of her life in light of God's historical acts in the past. God used His strength in Egypt. God brought down kings in Moab. God lifted up humble servants like Abraham, Joseph, David, and Isaiah. And God filled Israel with food in the wilderness. He has helped Israel throughout history. He has given them mercy, and His blessings are forever. Mary finds her story in God's story. Mary finds her hope in the promised seed of Eve. Mary finds her confidence in a Savior who will die for her sins and give her life everlasting. That's what Mary wants you to know and to sing about in your life. This is what her song wants you to believe, to sing, to celebrate those things, to sing the song of Mary. But there's another song that we learn in Luke chapter 2. We read this one a little bit earlier. The angel said to the shepherds, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." We're to learn to sing the song of Mary, and we're also to learn to sing the song of the angels. Now I realize that it doesn't technically say that the angels sang. It says they spoke words, but it does say they praised God, so we'll assume that it was a little bit of a song. But the angels announced in word and praise the coming of not just a baby, but of God's new and final kingdom. They announced a kingdom that would never end, the kingdom that was the fulfillment of Daniel's prophecy. They announced the birth of Christ, the Messiah. And the angels understood and wanted the shepherds to know and all those who could hear it that this news of his coming and his kingdom reorients everything in the world. All things find their center now in him. The fulfillment is in him. The birth of Jesus is not so much about peace, love, hope, joy in and of themselves. It is those things and countless other things that come through the arrival of a new king. You see, you can't have the peace and the love and the joy and the hope if you do not welcome the king himself. You cannot have those things unless you are part of the kingdom. True peace, the angels recognize, is not a feeling or a sentiment. It is a gift that only comes through the arrival of a new kingdom. A kingdom that is only accessible through the true king. And God is pleased with us when we trust in his son. We praise God not just with our singing, but with our lives in submission to him as he reigns over us, as our lives echo their song, "Glory to God in the highest." May we learn to sing the song of the angels. And thirdly, we see in Revelation 4 a song of heaven. Revelation 5. It says, "I saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?' No one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look into it. And I began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. One of the elders said to me, 'Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals.' Between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, with seven horns and with seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. He went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, 'Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth.' And then I looked and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who is slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever." One day we will sing with even greater clarity the song of heaven. We will sing with understanding of things that we do not yet know, but believe by faith. We will one day see with our eyes. And when we gather together with all of God's people, we will sing with our lips and our lives the worth and the worthiness of Jesus. Because he alone has conquered. He alone is victorious. And he alone saves. And so we're going to sing with people of all kinds of backgrounds and languages and nations. And so even today, we're invited to sing with others, to sing proclaiming the gospel, to sing and to open up our lives to include every kind of person, to gather together with others who have been ransomed by the blood. We can do this now, beginning to sing and to praise the one who is worthy to be praised, to praise of his glorious grace of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Like Mary, I hope you have seen your need for a Savior and put your trust in the promised one, Jesus Christ, as your hope, and that her song has become your song. And I hope that like the angels, you have gladly welcomed the kingdom of God into this world and into your life through the person and work of Jesus Christ. And like the elders and the angels and all the beings of heaven in Revelation, I hope that you are beginning now to praise the one who is worthy of all glory and honor and wisdom and might and strength, beginning to praise him now, knowing that you will praise him forever in the future. The sounds of the season often bring a peaceful and calming sense about us. The songs of Christmas in particular tend to put us in just the right mood because they redirect our minds to what is important, at least most of the songs. And the songs remind us what Christmas is and how it's so much more than just trees or tinsel or presents. And so we sing as a church for the benefit of others to understand those things too, to boast over the defeated enemies of God and for God's glory both in heaven and on earth. But as great and as important as singing is, God does not merely want our words or our songs. God wants our lives. And I was thinking this week of a very, I guess not an old song, but an older song by a group called Casting Crowns. And the lyrics say this: "Empty words held high, such a small sacrifice. If not joined with my life, I sing in vain tonight. Lord, I give my life a living sacrifice, to reach a world in need, to be your hands and feet. So may the words that I say and the things that I do make my life song sing, bring a smile to you. Let my life song sing to you. Let my life song sing to you. I want to sign your name to the end of this day, knowing that my heart was true. Let my life song sing to you." And so we're called to sing with excited and joyful hearts, and to sing perhaps with tears in our eyes. We're to sing to celebrate all that God has done, and to sing with anticipation of what God will do. And we're to sing because God sings over us, learning to imitate him and to bring him praise. But our prayer this Christmas is that our lives would sing, that they would be a sweet melody of praise, that they would walk in obedience and righteousness and holiness, in kindness and mercy and truth, that our life song would sing to the praise of Jesus Christ, who died to make us free, who lives to make us new, and who will one day come back to reverse all that is evil and sinful and wicked in the world. So all that is left is goodness and holiness and righteousness and justice. Those are not just the sounds of Christmas. Those are the sounds of eternity. The sounds of a young girl. The sounds of angels. The sounds of redeemed saints. And the sound of the gospel. And we sing and we praise him and we celebrate all that he has done because of the great work and sacrifice that he has made. He is the Lamb who was slain. Not just the sounds of the season, but the sounds of good news.